Absolutely brilliant to be in church this morning, isn't it? I tell you what, I'm excited, and I thought these guys were just outstanding this morning. How come you're hiding around the corner, Mr. Steiner? They were brilliant. Pastor Jesse, that was just an incredible atmosphere. Did you notice this morning the presence of God just dumped in this place this morning? And I believe miracle. I don't know who you are this morning, but you got a miracle this morning. There were people here who got miracle. There were people here who were suffering. There were people who were locked up in their mind. I believe this morning, as we were standing on this altar, there were miracles happening. God was setting people free. Hope was coming. Hope. Everybody yell out hope. Hope is, I mean, man, some of those songs we sung this morning, just while you're still standing, I love the songs we sing, but we sung Your Presence. Here's my first point this morning, okay? Your presence is an open door. We want you, Lord, like never before. I want to tell you, the presence of God is an open door to your next step. I hope you got that. I'm not just talking now, I'm preaching right here. Your presence, Lord God, is an open door. We want you like never before. Just think about that for a minute. Think about the presence of God. Our theme this month is Songs in the Night. Job 35:10, whatever that says, it means that we can have songs in the night. And your presence, Lord, is an open door. I want you to dream right now. I want you to think about some of the dreams that you've dumped, some of the dreams you've let go, some of the dreams that, you know, you may be here this morning and maybe you're unwell, maybe you're sick right now, maybe you're here this morning and you're struggling financially, maybe here this morning and you're, who knows, lost your job. There's a million things that can then drag us away and distract us and just drop us. But man, I want to tell you right now, the presence of God is an open door. And when we all stood up the front here to take communion this morning, never let it be that, incidentally. Never let it just be, oh, this is a communion service. That to me, right there, that Jesus did that with his disciples, you know. He said, take this bread as a symbol of my body, which was broken for you. So that when my body was broken, your body could be made whole. How many claimed that when you're up here this morning? Come on. Man, I mean, this is not some club. This is not a club. This is not where we all are weird and standoffish and in our own little spot and nobody wants to be our friend. This is the church of the living God. This is what Jesus gave his life for. This is like the presence of God as we come together. Whoever you are this morning, you bring a little bit of God's goodness. Then we took that cup of juice. Should be wine, I'm sure, but it's juice. And we took that cup of juice, and Jesus said, this is the blood of the new covenant. And when we stood up here this morning, we actually all participated in that. And the blood of the new covenant, it's like, hey guys, not one of us deserves the grace and the goodness of God. But because of that, God said, I'm going to make a brand new covenant with man because I love him so much. And God loves you so much. And he loves you so much. And he cares for you so much. And man alive, think of it, the Apostle Paul, he's got blood on his hands from damaging people and hurting people and victimizing people and being a bully and a horrible man. And God loved him so much, he dropped him off his horse on the Damascus Highway. And he said, I love you so much, Paul, I don't care what you've done, but I want to show you my grace and my mercy this morning. Do you know how many people lock themselves out of God's presence just because of the week they've had or the circumstances they've been through? And here's what God's saying this morning. I love you so much. I just want to get close to you this morning. And it says that the blood of Jesus washes us. Like, get a grip on this. The blood of Jesus washes us from all of our sin. Oh, man. And I'm not a theologically clever person, but when I got born again, that was the one truth that became an incredible revelation in my life. Hey, I'm free. And I'm living in that freedom today because the blood, that's why we do it. We don't come up here to do some kind of ritual of religion and bore the life out of you. We come up here to take that bread, God, that says I'm healed right now because your body was broken in place of mine. So receive that healing. I prophesy it over your life right now. Restoration, that which is broken, I put back together in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Brother sitting right here. I don't think we've ever met, have we? Let me shake your hand right now.
Gareth,
it's a privilege to meet you, Gareth. I want to tell you right now, Gareth, just as I'm up here, God, you know, we sung that song this morning about the breakthrough that God's given us. I believe today is a day of breakthrough for you, man. Well, I'll tell you, you're in the right place at the right time, and not just because I'm here, because all awesome people, because you're here, Gareth, but most of all, the presence of God's here, and I believe God says, in fact, can I pray for you? Come on. God, I thank you for Gareth, because I believe this is a very, very significant day for you, Gareth, and I believe God says right now, I'm breaking, I don't know, just as I look at you, you're carrying stress. Is there a bit of truth there? Just a little bit, please, your brother. You need a hug, mate. Stand up, I'll give you a hug. A hug relieves stress. There we go, right there. Love you, Gareth. And I believe God's saying today he's going to lift that off you and give you hope. And I reckon get ready for a great week. I reckon God's about to unlock some doors for you. Come on, somebody. This is what it's about. It's never it's not about me getting up here and thinking what my good 3-point message could do. It's about what God can do through the awesome people that are in this church, about hearing the voice of God. I'd sooner hear his voice than anything else. Because he cares for people and God loves people. And God's more interested in people. And here, some of us have been through a difficult week, maybe because God wants to lock you into some different perspective that he would get your eyes off yourself. So many times our eyes are on us. That's why it was so good to come and take the communion this morning. Gets our eyes off me and back onto Jesus. Yeah! Back onto Jesus. That's what it's all about. Hey, Lord, I pray right now. Hey, come on, I don't know. Hold your Bibles up or something. Wave your Bible around. Make the devil mad. At least pretend you're glad. Pretend you're glad and make the devil mad by waving your Bible around. How's that? Because this is the truth. This will set you free. This will give you victory. The Word of God is like an incredible foundation in your life. It can teach you the principles of how to live life through the difficulties and the obstacles that you'll face. So, Father, as we hold our Bibles high this morning, we declare that this is the Word of God, that God's Word will set captives free, that God's Word will break every single mindset and shackle that will withhold me from your goodness. And this morning I declare over your people, Lord God, that freedom, hope, and victory arise in this place today. God, people who are going through incredible struggles right now, I speak the victory of God over you. People who are suffering in your body right now, I speak a miracle over your body. People who are struggling with their philosophy and their understanding of truth and their understanding of who God is and how good he is, Father, I pray right now, put your loving arms around them and give them a revelation of your love. In the name which is above every name, we declare it this morning in Jesus. Yeah. Hey, why don't you pray this with me before we sit down? I just think it'd be really cool right now, because Jesus taught his disciples a prayer and he said, hey guys, you need to just keep it simple and pray it like this. And I wonder if we can do that as a church this morning and just pray the Lord's Prayer. I think this is going to do somebody good. And And so let's just go, shall we? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Just feel the power of God on that one. Amen. As you take your seats. Well, it's good to be in church with you. It's good to be back. I can't even remember where I was last week, but I was somewhere. Oh, we were on the marriage enrichment. Lying in front of the... We were doing marriage goodness, all right? And it was very cool. And I'd recommend that everybody be on that this next year. Book your ticket now and get ready for it. Marriage is an incredible, it's an incredible journey. Marriage is an incredible journey. What did Julia say about me earlier? I can't remember now. Oh, about my driving habits. Yeah, men are always fixed on the destination, aren't they? We love it. We love it. Boy, oh, don't you love Jesus? Oh, I just love getting together with you all because it's all about Jesus and his presence and his goodness and his realness in our lives and being authentic with what God's done in our lives. And this month we're talking about songs in the night, which I don't know what that means to you, but there's a lot of stuff. Usually when someone's awake at midnight singing songs, they're either sad songs because they can't sleep and they're wrestling with something, or they are songs that are, you're in the middle of party mode and you're still awake at midnight keeping me awake. My neighbours did that to me last night. They kept me awake because they were having a party, okay? And so whatever your song in the night is, I want to tell you Jesus is the answer for you today. Jesus is the answer. That's a bottom line of everything we talk about here. Jesus Christ is the answer. That's why whoever you are this morning, as I just shared at the what was that thing we did this morning called, please? New friends, that's right. Welcome all the new friends who were in the new friends having breakfast with us this morning. It was a privilege and an honor to meet you. But we talked about the whole concept of belong before you believe. And that's part, of course, of our DNA of here as a church, is that everybody belongs in church. Church should never be restricted to an us for and no more sort of a mindset where we've got it together and you haven't, you know? And I think for too long, church can be about some people who are out there who maybe aren't good enough to be in here. What a horrible, horrible idea. Three people agree with me. But what a horrible idea, because I love the idea of Jesus' acceptance. And he said, go into the highways and byways and invite every single person. That's why Wednesday night was so cool. And I know a lot of you are disappointed that I'm not up here in my Fred Flintstone suit. A lot of people asked me if I'd come and preach in my Fred Flintstone suit today. But Julia reckon it bears too much chest. And she couldn't sit in church and not be distracted. So I've worn a total. We're covered up. But the Fred Flintstone deal, that was just a fantastic night. And I enjoyed it. And it's all about getting people into the presence of Jesus, really. And so we've got to know how to have fun and we've got to know how to enjoy our Christianity, all right? And so I want to challenge you today. If we're singing songs in the night, it'll be some challenge about going to the next step and enjoying what God's doing in your life. I pray that when you go to bed at night, you put your shoes so far under the bed that you've got to get out of bed and get on your knees to get them before you take your next step in the morning. because I don't reckon enough people get on their knees in the morning and say, God, this is your day. I want you to be the leader of this day in my life. This is church right now. This is church. This is like, God, I want to give you this day, and I want you to lead me through this day. So when you go to bed at night, fire your shoes as far under the bed as you can get them. So you've got to get on your knees to find them in the morning. Because sometimes that's the only thing that'll get people on their knees. Because we wake up to an alarm clock, which is a horrible idea, and then we're sort of rushing ever after that. Spend some time with God and spend some time in His presence, and I guarantee you, I love what it says in the Passion Bible. This is just one thought. It says, Jesus is given to us like an engagement ring is given to a bride as the first installment of what's coming. That's found in Ephesians 1:14 in your Passion Bible. But you know what? The best is yet to come. I said the best is yet to come. I mean, we can sing these songs and pretend we're getting excited, but we sung songs this morning that literally said the best is yet to come. We sung it. Now, I don't know whether we believe it or not, but the best is yet. Because when you're going through a struggle, sometimes it's hard to believe that the best is yet to come. But I want to tell you this morning, as your pastor this morning, the best is yet to come. Do we go through struggles? Do we get disappointed? Do we even get disillusioned? Do we sometimes feel like giving up? Do we sometimes feel that the odds are so stacked against us that God has disappeared out of the equation? And God, and in those places, you can almost struggle with your faith. But I want to tell you right now, the best is yet to come. In spite of what you're going through right now, the best is yet to come. And that's why songs in the night. Let me just give you a couple of thoughts on songs. Oh, man. Let me just, first of all, just tell you some of the songs we sung this morning. Your presence, that's my first point, remember. Your presence is an open door. We want you, Lord, like never before. This is literally my first point today. Because I'm going to say, the only thing I could find in the Bible about songs in the night was Paul and Silas when they're in prison. And they sang some songs in the night. And so what it did, it brought the presence of God into a prison and caused the doors that were shut to open. And for somebody here this morning, can I say to you right now, get ready for doors to open. I just saw Naz sitting here. Naz, get ready. God's about to open doors of victory in every part of your life. Holy Ghost, we put that on her right now, just as an anointing on her life in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for Rebecca sitting right here. Just met Rebecca this morning. Privileged to meet you, Rebecca. Rebecca, this is an open door for you, and I reckon in this next season in your life, God's about to open up the dreams that you've had, the hopes that you've had, and you're going to see them come to pass. That's a pretty good word. Right, that's better than preaching in most churches. Right there. Just encouraging someone. We're meant to be the greatest encouragers on the planet. That's what we're meant to be. That's why it's never about me. It's about other people. Always about other people. So that's my first point. My second point is, I know a breakthrough is coming by faith. I see a miracle. And I do know for people here this morning, a breakthrough is coming. Why? Because, and these are all about songs in the night. And I was just thinking when we're saying, thank you, worship team, for being so in tune with the, because you don't want to have songs about whatever, and then our theme is actually about songs in the night. So, Mr. Vitali sitting there, so good to see you in the house, sir. Kakasi Dobra, just to use a couple of Yugoslavian phrases. Good to see him in the house. But here's it. Songs in the Night is about God made a promise and it won't stop now. Because you better believe that when Paul and Silas, I don't know if you've ever been behind bars. Probably most won't own up to it if they have, okay? But the reality is, prison is not a nice place. Jail is not a nice place. And it's a place of incredible loneliness, place of incredible lostness and fear and anxiety and pressure. But there are people who are behind bars who have never been behind bars. In their life, they're locked up. Jesus came to set the captives free. Jesus came to let us be totally free. And God made me a promise. And when we first started out in faith, Julia and I started out in our faith back in 1978, and we made a great decision, invited Jesus into our lives. And God made us lots of promises right there. And we started reading the Bible. And I tell you, I used to get so excited about reading the Bible. Like, boy, is that for me? Could that possibly be for me? I don't know if you read the Bible like that, but I'm simple enough to read it like that and think, wow, is that about me? You're going to be more than a conqueror. You're going to be an overcomer. There's no weapon formed against you that will prosper. Is that about me? Like, come on. Like, no sickness will come near you. Like, no terror will come to you in the night. This is the Bible I'm reading to you right now. And I was like, wow, is that about me? I want to live in this stuff. And I was very excited about the promises of God. And you know, there's been times in my life, like when my son was tragically killed driving home from work, I was like, God, where the heck are these promises of yours now? How does this add up to a song in the night? And if it is, it's a pretty broken song. God, where's your promises? But we sung this morning, God made me a promise and it won't stop now. And I'm going to tell you this morning, as part of this message of songs in the night, that whatever the promise of God in your life, don't stop where you are right now, friend. Press through. God's got the best is yet to come. And all we've got to do sometimes is just lift up our head and take another step. Maybe it is getting down beside our bed and praying and breaking through in that realm of prayer and believing that if God's for me, who can be against me? Because God won't let you down and he won't disappoint you and he won't leave you alone. Because we sung this morning, I know a breakthrough is coming and by faith I see a miracle. And I want to believe for miracles over your life, over my life and over your circumstances this morning. And I think sometimes we've got to realize, you know, I recently traveled to Houston, Texas to preach at a conference they called Overflow. It was called Overflow, which is a great name for a conference. It's a deadly overflow, because everything that happens in here should overflow in our life. Anyway, I've never been to this particular part of Texas before. I've never been out of the airport, actually. But do you know what? I never had one bit of anxiety or stress when I was in Texas, in Houston. Here's why. I get off the airplane, I go down, there's my bag, I grab my bag, and just right there is the guy who's picking me up. Now, he's my protector for the week, so he's one of the chiefs in the police department, and so he picks me up, get in his car, he says, here's your gun, while you're here, and this is Texas, okay? And that was probably the most intimidating moment in my life right there, actually, just seeing a gun, because we're Kiwis. We don't sort of see guns every day, and it freaks us out a little bit. But do you know what? Here's what I want to say to you. I never had one moment of stress, not one moment of anxiety in getting to this. I was meant to be there to preach. He picked me up at the airport. He drove me. He got me in the car. He put my bags in, drove me right to the church, got me there spot on time. We got out. He took me in. He led me through wherever rooms I had to go to right there so I was prepared. And I was just thinking about it just this morning, actually, while we were worshiping, and I was thinking, I never had any stress or any fear or any anxiety. And I think a lot of people live in stress and anxiety. And I think sometimes it's because it's like this guy, just an awesome guy, his name Peter, and Peter picked me up. He led me. He took me, got me there on time. He knew where to go. He knew the way to get there. He knew every part of that pathway of getting me, driving me there so we'd be spot on. We even had time for a coffee along the way. And he said, man, we've got time. Would you like to call in? Because I like that stuff, root beer. You can't get it in New Zealand, but root beer in America. And you go in there, and not like New Zealand, our narrow whatever mindset we've got here. I think it came from England, I don't know. But we have a mindset here. You go in and the drink machine's behind the counter and you order a drink and they give you this little wee cup. It's gone in 2 seconds, mostly ice. There's no drink in it, really. And I think they're trying to save money and they give you this drink and then you drink it and then you're like, flip, I wish I had another one. And you're sort of looking around and you have to go up the counter again and you ask, can I get another? Can I get a refill? And they say, well, you have to buy that. And you have to buy the refill, and it's more ice and all that. And but in America, you go there, and the drink machine's on the wrong side of the counter. Someone made a mistake, and they put it on our side of the counter. You can help yourself as many times as you like. The cups are this big, and you only pay once. It's called generosity. It's called generosity. And you just fill up, fill up, fill up. And then what's the guy, Peter says to me, and I've already drunk like five of them. I'm ready to preach, I tell you. I'm peppered up on Dr. Pepper, and I'm ready to go. I've got my sugar fix for the year. And then he says, oh, before we go, you should fill your cup up and take one for the one to go. And I thought, are you serious? And up you go and you fill it up again. It's this big anyway. And then you take one to go and it only costs you the price of one drink and you don't have to put any ice in it because you do it yourself. Anyway, I was thinking how awesome that is. Like just the generosity. Let's just get generous. Kiwi world needs an injection of generosity. I love that stuff. And anyway, then we got back in the car and we still had time and we cruised down. We got to the meeting and then he led me in and then he led me right up to the front seat and he sat me down and I was ready to preach. And you know what? I realized, wow, this is so easy. This is so easy. All I did was got on a plane and everything was sort of happening after that. And I thought, and God spoke to me this morning when I was sitting there and said to tell somebody here that when you give him the key to your life, God, he says, you don't have to be anxious. You don't have to stress because I'm going to get you there on time and in the right place. And God says to somebody here this morning, you're going to arrive on time, on target, exactly how you should be and ready to go. And I'm just saying that to someone here this morning because you're stressing out about where you're at. You're stressing out about the circumstance of your life. The greatest thing that probably happened to you this morning is getting in here and starting to worship. Because worship is the key to all that. And I realized that Peter, he was like God in our life, if you like. He picked me up. He looked after me. He took me right where I needed to go. Now, if I was on my own, I'd be thinking, wonder which turn you'd make right here. But God wants to say to somebody here right now, I've got the turn sort of. Will you tune in to my voice? And that's why we're having a prayer meeting here tonight, because I want to be tuned into God's voice. I want to be knowing his voice above the voices, the screams of society, the screams of the anxious sounds of our society. I want to know the voice of God. And reality is, his voice is more important than any other sound you'll hear. Because in that you can know peace, you can know incredible joy. In fact, the Bible calls it joy unspeakable. Let me just read you a couple of verses and then we're going to go home, all right? And lunch, sorry. We're having lunch at church. How good could church get? There's another thing. That's the other thing. I didn't have to worry about where I was going out to eat that night. They had dinner at the church. They even asked me what sort of dinner I like. I said, I really love Vietnamese food. And so they specially had Vietnamese food for me. Coriander chicken. Anyway. Okay. Sorry for all the vegetarians that are in the house. Even to mention chicken could be a horrible thought to some of you. Okay, here we go. Seriously, though, Jesus is the answer. And if you've given him the keys to your life, if you haven't, can I really encourage you this morning the greatest thing Julia and I ever did a few years ago now, we were 25 years old, but we gave Jesus the key and said, you're the driver from here on out. Somebody here today needs to just sit in the passenger seat and enjoy the journey. Is that true, Jackie? Jackie's doing that. Her husband just had an operation this week. She's trusting God in it. Sit in the passenger seat and just enjoy. God's in control. Now, that doesn't mean you be a slacker and you back off. No, you've got to press through in life. Life is a fight, and it's only the people who push through and break down barriers and declare that we're going through. But however, nonetheless, I'm trusting God. I'm not trusting the circumstances that are around me. And if you're here this morning and you've never put your trust in God, and if he's not the driver of your vehicle, then can I recommend today that you give him the keys to your heart? God, hey, I need you to be, I've messed this thing up. And let me tell you, sometimes we might not look like a mess, but lives do get messed up without Christ at the helm. I sat down with a guy just at the marriage retreat, actually, who wanted to become wealthy, okay? He wanted to become a multimillionaire. Hallelujah, glory to God. And good for him. But the trouble is, if you leave God out and you just go after money, you've got it all wrong. All wrong, guys, I'm sorry. And he did that and he got it all wrong and he seriously has messed up. I led him to Christ like 20 years ago, I led him to Christ. He got born again, then baptized him in water, baptized his wife. They all got born again. Then he married this beautiful girl. Today they're separated. They're not together right now. All in the pursuit of what the world would call success. Yeah, I was going to add some things to that, but we won't for the sake of time. And anyway, and now, and he's apparently successful, okay? Apparently successful. Now, wealthy, got a whole lot of stuff together. And anyway, so I rang him up because I'm probably the only Christian friend he's got right now. Well, this is what he told me, who still connects with him, because he's denied Christ. He calls himself an atheist now and has walked away from God in pursuit of success. And I sat down with him, and anyway, and I said, how are you going, mate? And he says, well, I tell everybody I'm going absolutely fantastic. Business is doing great, and everything's awesome. And then he says, but Don. Then he burst out in tears, and he said, I'm with you, and I've just got to be authentic and real. I am a broken man with no friends, no love, no direction, and no hope. And right there we had a revival meeting around a coffee. And I want to tell you, everything else just fails into insignificant compared with the Lamb of God. His name is Jesus. I want the Good Shepherd in my life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even Paul and Silas in a prison cell at night, they still knew that God was on their side. And wherever you are, and I got to share the love of Christ, then I said, mate, what about your marriage? What about your life? And we ended up, we've now connected with his wife. We've reconnected some things there. And we're having a revival, guys. And God, even though it looked like it was all over, and in many people's eyes, that's why don't judge anybody. Don't judge anybody. It's not over yet. There's always hope when Christ is in the middle of it. And here's what I mean. Here's what I mean. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave. Oh, I don't like that version. Let's go to the other version. And it came to pass, we went to prayer, and a certain damsel, that's better, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. That means fortune-telling and all that sort of stuff, okay? And she followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned to the girl and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her that same hour. Man, I believe that stuff, guys. This is the power of God. God sets you free, delivers you, and makes you brand new. That's why our declaration and our vision in this church is transforming lives together. Because God is the ultimate transformer of a life. And it goes on. The multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent and tore off their clothes and commanded them to beat Paul and Silas because of what they had done to the girl. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them in the inner prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. That's the lower dungeon in the cell. And he made their feet fast in stocks. So you've seen those pictures of people locked in stocks and their hands and all that. But at midnight, it says, and this is the part I love, Paul and this is what it's all about. But at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. I promise we won't keep you till midnight tonight. We're going to pray for 1 hour, but we are going to pray and sing praises to God for 1 hour tonight. Will you join with us? And let's get a breakthrough happening in Jesus' name. Okay? And Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise to God. And this is my favorite part of this whole chapter. My favorite part, here it is. And the other prisoners heard them. Boy, that's so exciting. You've got no idea what the broken people, the hungry people that are around us, and all they're looking for is us to turn up with the power of God. Ever been in a prison? When we got born again, Julia and I, we went. I decided that we'd get involved because I read in the Bible, Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. I read that verse, can't remember where it is right now, but, and Jesus said, they said, when did we not see you? And he said, when I was in prison, you never visited me. When I was sick, you never came to me. When I was, there's a whole lot of things. Hungry, thank you, Pastor Tricia. When I was hungry, you never fed me. And I said to Julia, just after we got born again, well, let's get into some of this stuff. I want him to recognize me when I turn up. I don't want to hear, depart from me, I never knew you. I'd like him to know who I was. So we're going to find some prison people. So we jumped on an aeroplane and we went to start a rehabilitation project with the prisoners in Tonga. Never been there before. We just jumped on a plane, off we went. Four kids, 16 suitcases. Gave away a house, and off we went, off to Tonga to be missionaries to the prisoners in Tonga. And you know what? We got there, and I remember going down to prison, and prisons are not a nice place. I remember going in there, guards are very touchy. Who are you? What do you want to do here? Who do you think you are? And we said, we just come to help, just come to serve. And I remember they said, well, here's what you can do. You can have three prisoners. And they gave us three prisoners to take in this little room beside, and we just shared the love of Jesus with them. And it went on for months. We shared the love of Jesus with these. It got to about 10 prisoners. That's what we finally got to out of all the prisoners. And then, and it was a horrible prison. And then one day, we're in this prison, and we're ministering to these 10 people. And there was a couple of new people who had come this day. And I remember, Christy, was she sick that day, Julia? Our little girl Christy, who's now the manager of Inspire, and little Christy, she was 2 years old, I think. Mm-hmm. 2 years old, and we're in this room of prisoners, like murderers and horrible people, offenders. And Julia and I are there. Oh, we're unqualified for that. But when I was in prison, you visited me. Anyway, we go into this prison. We've got little Christy with her. She's got the beautiful blonde hair. And we're in the middle of a Tongan prison environment. And then we get in there and we were like, you know, we're about to minister to these people and share some stuff. And Julia got up to share something with these few 10 prisoners. And she handed, and there was this lady there. And Julia went over and said, would you hold my baby for me? And she was like, yes. And she embraced our little Christy.
And then she burst out crying, and she cried the entire way. I don't think she heard a word that Julia said, but she held that little baby, and we went to her after and said, "Why are you crying?" And she said, "Because I want this Jesus that you've brought into the prison." And we said, "Well, what's the deal here?" And she said, "You know what? I'm in prison because I murdered a little baby girl." And she said, "I never, ever believed I could be accepted. But," she said, "today, when you put this little baby in my hand," she said, "I knew that your God was a true God who forgave me for the past and gave me a new look in life." And let me tell you right now, friends, we arrived at, you can imagine, we arrived at prison, not like that week we went home. That was revival in that room. We went home, we came back the week later, and we arrived at the prison, and there were like 200 prisoners lined up against the wall, shaking the barrier on the wall. And I was I went up to the guard, and I said, "What's going on?" He said, "They all want to come to your meeting this week." And there was one guy who wasn't allowed to come. He was chained. He was in an open cell, chained to the cell. He was violent as you could imagine. He was totally, talk about songs, and Paul and Silas, you know, we used to go there. I'd play my little old guitar, Jesse, and sing a few songs to these prisoners. And we even learned a few Tongan songs, and we'd sing that. And man, people got delivered, set free, just while we're singing it, you know. And I want to tell you, there is incredible victory when you start to praise our living God in the middle of any situation. And I ended up saying to the prison guard, "I want that guy in our church service." He said he can't be loosed off his chains. And it cut in. All his wrists were cut where he's like, breaking, trying to break the chain. His ankles were bleeding where he'd try to get away from the fetters. And just an open door, no roof, a room, just out in the whether raining, sunny or whatever. And he was just a broken, long-haired, desperate man. And they used to go and put his food, and they'd drop it, and they'd push a stick in to get the tray close to him so he could eat his food. And I said, "You know what? He's coming to our next meeting." Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
And they said, "No, he isn't." And I said, "Yes, he is." And I said, "I'm going to pray for him, and Jesus is going to set him free." And you know what they said? "Look, you can't even go near him. He'll kill you if you get anywhere near him." And I said, "Well, greater is he that's in me than he that's in him." Because how many know the devil is a defeated foe? And you know what? They said, "Well, you're on your own." And I went over, and I remember walking up, and I remember fear tries to grip you. But remember, God's got the control of my car. If that's my day, that's it. But God, you're in control, and I'm going to give this guy a hug, and you're going to set him free. And I walked up to him, and I'll never forget it. I hugged this guy, just walked up, gave him a hug, and he just dropped all his anger, and he got set free in a second. And all I said, it wasn't like we had an exorcism program and we had like heads turning right around and looking the other way. All it was, and this is where a lot of Christians get screwed up, they think it's got to be some religious formula of weirdo, but all it is I just walked up to him. "Stand up, man." I just walked, this is how it happened, all right? He is in chains, so he couldn't give me a hug. All right, he's in chains. And I just walked up and I said, "Jesus loves you. Sione, you're free." And he was free. And you know what? Next week he was in our meeting. And Sione got set free that day just by giving him a hug and telling him Jesus loves him. Anyway, my time's up and we never got to the end of this. But I do want to say this. The prisoners heard them. And suddenly, oh man, this is so cool. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains was loosed. Now I want to tell you, praise sets the captives free. And you wonder why we're a church that's into praise? You wonder we're a church that's into a little bit of fun, a little bit of party the other night on Wednesday night, because I'll tell you what, you're far better to enjoy God's presence and live in the freedom of God's victory than you are to get religious and locked down and ugly and mean and just trapped in an environment of religion. Let's get free and take what God's got inside of us into our world. Let's be the people. When I was hungry, you visited me. When I was sick, you came. And friend, I don't know who you're sitting beside this morning. There'll be people right now that are locked down right beside you. Because we don't all live in the same house. We come together on a Sunday and we bring who we are and what we are. Struggles, whatever it is. That's why we don't judge. We just love people right where they are. And we're there for you and we're there with you. And we want to encourage you that God has got the best yet to come for you. Paul and Silas were singing songs like that. Chained up. I mean, you can imagine it, because Silas was probably like, Paul, what did we do wrong? God's condemned us now. We must have got it wrong somewhere. You sure we heard God? Anyone ever said that, incidentally? Sure we heard, I've said it to Julie, you sure we heard God on this one? Like, this is a bit of a stuff up. You sure we got it right? Silas was probably saying that, and Paul would have been saying, come on, mate, chill out. He's in charge. And if he brought us this far by his grace, then the best is yet to come. And Paul said, come on, we need to sing a song or two. How can we sing when we're in chains? How can you sing when you've got pain in your body this morning? How can you be happy when your circumstances, your finances are all upside down? Well, Paul and Silas proved it to us in that prison. At midnight, they sung a song to the Lord. And Paul said, come on, man, get with it. You've got the chains on, so we've got percussion. Where's Devin? There he is over there. Devin Vitale. Should get him on the drums right now just for a bit of percussion. Come on, Dev. Or whoever's playing the drums this morning, actually. Whoever's playing. Get up there and give us a bit of rhythm. Give him a hand clap as he goes. So you don't need much. You can just use what you got. And so Paul and Silas, honestly, obviously they didn't have a guitar, they didn't have a nice set of drums like this, but Paul said, look at those chains you got on yourself, mate. I'm sure you could get a bit of rhythm happening with that. And Silas just started shaking those chains. Come on, somebody. And then Paul, a little bit like me, I don't know what songs he had learned in his life. I was always a bit of an Elvis fan, to be honest with you. Before I got born again, that's all I knew, was that playing Elvis songs. Have you got those drums going yet, mate? Just give us a bit of something. Chain rattling. That'll do. That'll do. That's a pretty good rhythm. And then Paul probably broke out in something like this. Well, since my demons left me, I've found a new way to live. I'm living up there on Glory Street. And I don't know what he sung. I don't know what he sung. That'll be cool. Just thought I'd give you that. Where's Ashley? I just got an invite to the worship team. But let me tell you right now, I don't know what song he sung, but I'll tell you what, it set every single person in that prison free. And I don't know who you are this morning, but we've got the joy of the Lord in here. We've got Jesus in this house. And I'll tell you what, there were prisoners there that would have never heard the gospel had God not got Paul and Silas convicted, beaten, and put in that cell just so someone who was locked down could get free. And you know what? We put this service on this morning just so somebody can walk into the freedom that God's got from. Whether it's from pain, sickness, shackles, or sin, friend, Jesus is here to set you free this morning. I'm going to close right there. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, I thank you this morning that you came to give us a victory. I thank you this morning, Lord God, that even in this house we sense your awesome presence. God, we sense your love and your mercy, and we know that you are here today to give us victory, to give us hope, and to give us life. And God, whatever we're facing this morning, I declare over the life of every person here this morning that you would break their chains, that you would set them free. and that you would give them the victory right now. Heal their bodies in Jesus' name. Cancel fear, anxiety. Let it leave them today, Lord, the stress of our environment, and let freedom come in Jesus' name. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, maybe today you're saying, Don, I've been in church for a while, but today I need to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I need to give him the keys to this vehicle of life called my life. And I need to sit in the passenger seat and let him lead me right here. And friend, maybe today you're saying, Don, how do I do that? And I'm going to give you the opportunity right now to respond and say, Jesus, here's the keys to my heart. And if that's you, friend, why don't you right now just quickly lift your hand and say, Jesus, here's the keys to my heart. I want to give you my life right now. Who is that today? Who is that today? God knocking on you. Yeah, God bless you. That's so awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Is there somebody else right now? Pastor Don, I just need to give Jesus the keys to my heart. I want to make him Lord of my life right now. Who is that, friend? Who is it? I believe there are others here. Yeah, God bless you. That's so awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hand down. Is there somebody else right now? So I'm going to wait for one more person. One more person. The jailer. The Philippian jailer. Here he was serving that jailer. Roman torture machine, if you like. And God put Saul and Silas, Paul and Silas, in that prison simply to unlock him. He ruled the prison, but God said, I'm going to give you freedom today. And him and his whole household came to Christ that day. Friend, whoever you are right now, if you need Jesus, if you've never let Jesus in your heart, I'm going to give you one more opportunity. Just lift your hand real quick. Don, I need to get right with God today. Don, I need to get right with God today. Is there one more person? In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you all stand with me this morning? We're going to close. And thank you for being here. Be incredibly enthusiastic, is a word I want to use, about your next step and about this week. Enthusiastic. It's almost better than passion to be enthusiastic. In other words, Paul and Silas had no reason to be passionate, but they had every reason to be enthusiastic. Passion is sometimes about the environment, but enthusiasm is about what's inside you. And I am enthusiastic about the grace of God, the love of God, and the mercy of God. If you lifted your hand this morning and said, yes, I need to let Jesus in, let him be Lord of my life, I want to pray this prayer. In fact, we're all going to pray this prayer together. Could you all pray with me? And let's make this a common prayer that we all pray together for those who lifted their hand and for others who probably should have but didn't. But let's pray together and say, Jesus, I want to thank you for your love and your mercy. Today, I give you the keys to my heart. I invite you into my heart. I allow you to be the Lord of my life. Lead me into all truth. Forgive me for my sin and let me know the power of your victory in my next step. In Jesus' name, I pray and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. God bless you. Have an absolutely brilliant day. If you were the one of the ones that lifted your hand today, please come up the front and see me before you leave church. I want to pray for you at the end of this service. Thank you.